What's up, everybody? It is our Impact Pro Wrestling post show from WrestleZone.com. Tuesday nights are not Dynamite, but they're pretty close. They're pretty close to Dynamite at this point. We will talk about a man who isn't nothing. He's something. Jake something. And throw your fist up in the air, pump your elbow down, because Moose, the TNA World Champion, is finally recognized as such and is also getting an Impact World title shot at the upcoming Sacrifice pay-per-view. If you're behind on Impact, this is the show that'll catch you up on it and get you knowing about everything. I am Kev Kelm. Joining me, Dominic D'Angelo in Pittsburgh, PA. Dominic, if you had a wrestling name, what would be your spin on Jake something? What would you be, Dominic what?
Dominic Dew.
All right, Robert. Yep. Robert, your nondescript wrestling last name. You'd be Robert some guy.
Nothing.
Robert nothing. I like it. Nothing.
Robert nothing.
Like, I'm not no, saying I'm not. One name like Cody. I mean literally Robert nothing.
There you go. Boss Man Bill Pritchard. Would you just be Bill some guy? Bill some dude. What would you go with?
Whatever.
Mr. Bill?
Whatever.
Bill, whatever. There you go.
Whatever, dude.
So I want to get the rights to the Police's do-do-do-da-da-da for Dominic's entrance, because he's just going to be Dominic Do.
And I'll just point at nobody in the audience in the Impact Zone.
That's right.
If you're with us live or on demand, go ahead and get your comments with us. If you're watching on demand, we'll still join you guys in the comments below. If you're with us live, get your comments with us on screen. If you're enjoying the podcast version of the show, don't forget to give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast app you get us on. Maybe you're streaming this and you're like, oh wow, they do a podcast? Yeah, we're available on Apple, Spotify, all the different stuff. Hours of content every single week on one feed, multiple episodes for post shows for pay-per-views, exclusive interviews. We have the main wrestler that just went up as well. What else we got up on there, Bill? We got some hot stuff on the feed.
Got some. Okay, so I'm going to veer off quickly. Did you guys see the new Spider-Man title has been announced?
No.
No. It's official now. It's Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh.
Is it No Way Out?
I should have made that joke last night, but I instead posted an Ultimo Dragon meme. About knowing what to do about multiple titles.
Now, first of all, good use of Ultimo Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, did they or did they not confirm Tobey Maguire?
No, it's just like the teaser trailer for No Way Home.
Oh, well, they're doing the multiverse thing, like where they have the multiple Spider-Man type deal.
I think they're going to find a way home, though.
A potential hunch.
Homeward Bound.
Let's
the next movie's title.
Just Spider-Man Peter Parker is trying to find his way home with his buddy who's a dog and his cute pal who's a cat.
Voiced by Michael J. Fox.
They're gonna get into some scraps in the forest.
Jolly Field stars as a sassy cat.
Spider-Man, I'm hungry. That's what they're gonna go with. Nick Batson wants to say this. Change this company back to TNA. Let's get into the different stuff.
There. Change I this podcast back to Impact.
Hey, you brought up Spider-Man, Bill.
I know, but I thought that's what he was gonna say.
Change the company back to TNA. I agree with this statement. If you're gonna recognize the belt, why are they recognizing the belt? Wow. More importantly, why 1 year later, after they've had matches for this belt, are they now like, yeah, it's a thing, it's a belt, let's do it?
Because it's easier than actually creating a new belt, figuring out what to do with it. It's just there, it's made, it caters to the people that are like, yeah, TNA, I miss TNA. And I mean, that's it. Like, we talk about the X Division. How often do we talk about, like, what is the X Division? It's either what it's been for the past 5 years, or is it going to be the multi-man flippy matches? And instead of trying to figure out what a title is, now Moose can be like, okay, here's my, you know, like, here's my WCW international title.
Mm-hmm.
For compared to your world title, here's my, Universal title compared to your WWE championship. Like, it's the same thing, and it just literally makes less work for them. So, like, they should have done this a long time ago.
There's that familiarity with TNA and everything. And it's just been a push and pull kind of thing. And it made sense ultimately to have him. Okay, where we're at, like, Moose, you push my buttons enough, you're putting that title on the line. But it would have just made much more impact if Jake something won it, because you have a star you're trying to build and you're trying to push that to the limit. So if you want to have that connection to history of your company, why not put it on a big star that you're establishing now and get it off to the races instead of keeping it with Moose? And then not only that, but you're having that star lose to somebody that you're already built up as a star. So it's just, it did not, putting the title back in it made sense initially after the fact, but then what they did with it, I did not like.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into this week's Impact Pro Wrestling on Access TV. A new star has risen. Now, we mentioned the TNA world title being recognized. We'll get into that big angle. That was certainly a huge headline from the show. We have a big title match that is set up for the upcoming Sacrifice pay-per-view. But something I enjoyed on this week's Impact was the rise of not just someone, but something. Jake Something opens the show against his former tag team partner, his former cousin, Diener versus Jake Something, a table match. I thought this was a great opener, maybe one of the better openers that Impact has had on Access TV. Jake wins. This guy has been a sleeper dark horse for Impact for quite some time. Big win for him. Now, obviously, the post-match is the real story. What do you think the rise of him? Because he gets attacked by Moose and then later on gets featured in the main event, Bill.
I think this... I really liked it. Like, there's no other way to say it. Like, it was two big sweaty men slapping meat. We could joke about it.
Oh, that's our first meat slapper of the day.
Ding, ding, ding. But I liked it. Like, I'm slowly, like, finally liking Moose, and it's because they're actually doing something with him and making him a physical threat and not just a character outside of the ring. And, you know, like, oh, Moose is well-dressed. Like, BFD. Moose has a suit now. Moose talks very slowly. Like, great. We've seen that before. They're actually making him a physical threat. They're making the belt he has that he's carried for the past year a legitimate title. I actually think he has a very good chance of beating Rich Swann. I wouldn't be surprised to beat him. And I think by the time they get to what the hell's the event? No Surrender?
Sacrifice.
I did it last night too.
No way home. It's no way home.
No way out. Home Depot, Home Goods. By the time they get to Sacrifice, I think they're going to finally be at a point where, like, people will accept Moose for being a legitimate threat. And Kenny Omega and Homecoming, or Jesus Christ.
Kenny Omega? What are you talking about?
I went to say Homecoming again, which is not what's the pay-per-view? Rebellion.
There you go.
Kenny Omega and Rebellion, not Homecoming, is on the horizon. So I think by the time we finally get towards the, you know, like that, people are going to accept Moose as a legitimate threat, like, to Kenny Omega, which if you would have said in January, like, it's going to be that match and not Rich Swann versus Kenny, like, we made jokes about it too. Like Moose is not a credible champion, and he's finally on his way to being that. So I think, putting him in that situation, especially like last night, highlighted, you know, here's why he's in the position he is. And it was a great match.
Homecoming. So Robert, I know you're not fond of the big man Moose on Impact Wrestling.
So here's the thing. I thought Moose should have beaten Austin Aries 2 years ago when I first started working here, and they kept dragging it out. Moose has almost like a Dolph Ziggler effect in that regard, where he's been there forever. You keep telling me he's a big deal. I just want you to get to it. He's looking good. And I agree, anybody at this point would seem like more of a threat to Kenny Omega than Rich Swann, who we've already seen Kenny Omega pin 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I do hope if he fights Moose, there is a joke that Kenny Omega can handle this because he's from Moose Country. But I don't know. I think if this ends with Kenny Omega deciding, I don't want to be the Impact champion. I want to be the TNA champion. Nobody ever wanted to come to Impact. They wanted to go to TNA. I'll be the TNA champion. If it ends like that, I'm all right with it.
It's going to end with Tony Khan being the TNA champion.
I hope it does.
And then Scott D'Amore is going to come in and be like make some kind of like lame Vince with a do-rag joke from ECW. And it's going to be funny because we'll get to that. But Scott D'Amore is a treat. What was the point?
Just Ross.
I don't remember.
The point was to reel
everyone. No. Like yeah, Moose is. I think he's looking good. He's making a believer out of me. I'll go that far. And more to your point, it happens all of the time where wrestling. It's like, oh yeah, this guy's a big deal. You treat him like a big deal. Like we say he's a big deal, and then I'm sitting there like, okay, why? Like, why is he a big deal? It happens all the time, and I will go as far as saying AEW's doing it with Jade right now. Like, why is she a big deal? Why am I supposed to care? She looks great. She's well-spoken, but then they're showing her practicing basketball with Shaq. Why am I caring about that in terms of her being a threat to Red Velvet and Cody Rhodes in a wrestling ring? And I think they made that same mistake with Moose for the past year. It was just, well, I'm the TNA champion. And that's it. Like you made him a joke. Like even during the EC3 thing, like I never really thought he was a credible threat. It was just kind of like, all right, whatever. Like you can be a shady heel or whatever you want to call it for like a cowardly heel for so long. But if you're going to put him on this road to being a threat and a badass heel champion, you gotta at least, you know, there's gotta be some kind of change that we see along the way. And it's not too little too late, but it's finally happening. So I'll stop there.
Dom, are you sold on, as Joey Z puts it, a Moose that is looking like $1 million these days?
I'm not. Moose has got a ways to go for me if he has that capability to do that for me, because I think last night, I think that was his best match, and it was fierce and good hard hitting between two big guys.
Yeah, because he attacked Jake something at the end of the opening match. Later on in the night, they took on each other. I thought that was a good through line for the show. The creative wasn't bad there. I didn't like that. One night you open with something big, you end with something big.
No, it tied together, but I just feel like there's so many other stars that have personality, have that star power look in Impact. I think they're just kind of treading water here with Moose, and it's ultimately, no matter how they go about it, I feel like Moose is not going to pack that punch if he goes up against Kenny Omega in comparison to, say, you have somebody like Jake something, or you have somebody even like Joe Doring or Willie Mack. I think there's guys that showcase a lot of who they are as people. And, you know, some of that's to, you know, maybe to Impact's fault that Moose has not gotten that platform. But I think a lot of it is on Moose. It's on Moose, and he has not engaged me whatsoever. This was his best match I've ever seen, I think, but he's got a long ways to go for me. I am not sold on him.
Well, I mean, you can't say they haven't put a lot of time and effort.
Yes, they put a lot of time.
So I won't deny that. I also like the creative for opening with a big match, ending with a big match, as they're kind of already established. I don't think Jake something lost a lot in this. He had a valiant effort. He won at the beginning of the night. He got attacked. He got his momentum back by attacking Moose before he even got to the ring. So that was like a fight. It felt chaotic. It had a good Crash TV element to it. And he did lose, you know, but, you know, they do have that. They're keeping the momentum on Moose. But I think the stock of Jake something raised in this whole thing. Right, Robert?
Yeah, but we've been saying on this show for a while that he's a star.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, he's the right guy at the wrong time, because this whole company right now feels like, all right, what is Tony Khan going to say? When are we getting Omega? What are we doing?
Good point.
To say that, like, I think a lot of the, and it's been almost an, I think WWE's established this, and then it's like Impact's kind of going in that suit is like, hey, we're putting this star, this guy in the main event picture, but then ultimately he doesn't succeed. Like, mm-hmm. Jake something lost. He lost clean. So it's just like, okay, why don't you take that leap with people? I think that's a lot of what wrestling fans want to see, and Impact positioned itself last night to do that, and they didn't do it.
Mm.
I think Jake something still is a star. I feel they should have done better by him.
I'll say this. I think people are going to start getting real nostalgic for Attitude Era style off the wall booking, because I think people are at a point where, yeah, it's a good match, but that can only get you so far. And I think, not saying go full Russo and just like switch the title every week, but I think people are going to want to start seeing more than just a good match.
Didn't we see that though? Like, it's wrestling works in cycles. So, I mean, you think about like what the 60s and 70s were, and then you had the golden era where it was like rock and wrestling and that era of WWF. And then it went to the Attitude Era, and then we got the PG era, and now it's going to cycle back in a way. So, I mean, I don't think Jake something lost anything. Like, he was a comedy character a few weeks ago. They spent a few weeks to legitimize him. He won a tables match. He got beat up and still ended up having a good Hoss fight with their now recognized top
secondary champion.
Yeah, like 1A or 1B, however you want to put it.
You might even say it was a meat slapping main event.
It was Omaha Steaks. Get on that sponsorship.
Man.
Omaha Steaks, where are you? Omaha Steaks. If you guys tweet them, tag them in this, Omaha Steaks, we want to be selling packages of your grade A FDA beef with those wonderful little short cheesecakes that you guys add in the packages. All right. We want to push it. All right. You want to put not just Omaha Steaks in any zone. You want to put them in Wrestle Zone. Promo code. Where is it? I don't know what it is. We don't have one yet. Right, Bill? Omaha Steaks. Get on it. So, we will have an Omaha Steaks live eat stream in the future when we can. Let's get back to Impact Wrestling. Out of the main event for a little bit, we do have a interesting continuation of the forbidden doors being opened, right? We did have some forbidden doors open on this, Dom. Tell me about the latest AEW involvement in this week's Impact.
Let's see. Well, they had the two Tonys, but then they had some special guests in their paid advertisement. A lot of the heels that are going to be on Dynamite tonight. You had Ricky Starch, you had Brian Cage, you had Isaiah Cassidy, Matt Hardy, Ryan Nemeth, Britt Baker, and Reba Rebel. And so they all kind of cut a little bit of a promo building to their match. Brian Cage, former Impact World Champion, did take a bit of a dig, saying that, they haven't had that star power since he was there. So
he didn't even like step forward. He's in like a crowd of people cutting like 15-second promos.
Yeah.
And he like does his little Snapchat comment of, I used to be the champion when this company was relevant. It's like,
first of all, it's going to sound a little mean, but we're not that far removed from Brian Cage being Impact World Champion. Or that
less than a year and a half, right? Less than a year.
Last year, maybe a year before that. I don't really know, but I just thought it was weird.
It's been a year yet, has it?
I think it has, because last January was.
Yeah, okay. So it's like a year and a few months, because Tessa won it from Sammy. So it was longer than
about a year and a half.
Yeah. He debuted at Double or Nothing, didn't he?
Right.
I remember being at All Out in Chicago, and that's well over a year and a half ago. And being in a certain area where the press was, and right behind us was a box. And in the box what's in the box? Well, what was in the box was future NXT champion Karrion Kross and Scarlett. And right next to him was Impact World Champion at the time, Brian Cage. Open. You could see them. The crowd could turn around and see them. There was no hiding them. This is the maybe the nature of their contracts. They were walking around the arena. There was no nothing like that. It was like you could see them. They were positioned that way. The wrestling press could see them. And obviously no one's going to ask any questions. They're just watching the show. Someone said something to Brian Cage. He's like, right here. He's like, I'm enjoying the show. And it was just obvious. And that was well before he left
Impact. Yeah.
So this going back and forth, how long do you think this relationship was in the works? I mean, we're now a couple months into it. It's certainly fleshed out. New Japan's now involved. Bill, how does this weird, odd relationship that people are excited about reading about every week on WrestleZone continuing?
I don't know, and I think that's like why it's so fun.
Yeah.
Like I legit don't know. Like, I don't know if, you know, it was this months-long thing. I don't know if it was like a month. I don't know when, if it was just like AEW and Impact were like, hey, let's work together. And then they figured out how to pull in New Japan. Like, I'm just kind of excited that it's happening. And I'll plug my interview coming up. I talked to Dennis and Petey Williams from the Wrestling Perspective podcast that will be out soon. I brought up the point that I don't want it to be this long-term thing where we get to the point where it's Bullet Club leaving Ring of Honor and they're gutted and don't know what to do for a year.
Yes.
It's a good thing for right now and it's keeping people entertained and it's not a long-term plan. But while it's going on for however long it does, I'm enjoying it. And that's kind of all I can ask for it. Like I don't have very many expectations other than, you know, there's going to be surprises and I hope that Impact at least gets one, like a major victory in the larger battle.
They need it though, because they did the hard to kill pay-per-view 6-man match, the AEW world champion Kenny Omega with the Impact tag team champions, his buddies from the Bullet Club, the Good Brothers. They beat Rich Swann, your Impact world champion at the time, and pin him in the middle of the ring. Dom, I'm not wrong. Impact needs to get some leverage in this thing. It's been going on for a couple months and they're treated like the bastard child of televised wrestling right now. I think they need to get their win back. They need to do what Jake Something did. They won the table match at the beginning of the night. They need to go and attack the moose that is Tony Khan and his designer jackets.
Yeah, I agree. There's got to be some sort of retribution for them. And, Hey, now. You can use, there's so many terms that you can just pop up and it's like, oh, that's wrestling related in some form or fashion.
Hey. But, slapjacks and T-bars on Mondays, pal. All right.
But, I think, Tommy Dreamer played to that a little bit last night on Twitter too. After the video was posted, he's like, he like fires back at them and, certain things like that. I think ultimately you have to pick the right talent to do it and they have to get, you know, the comeuppance against AEW. And I'm sure that working relationship, there's going to be that payoff. Just depends on how it's handled. I think the unknown is the intrigue, but the fact that they're blending together and this forbidden door is open, that I think it adds to a lot of,
as we described it, the revolving forbidden door or the beaded forbidden door.
Not even
just beads.
It's not even open. It's just the door is not closed.
Yes.
The Tony Khan's office door is wide open. Anyone walking by, he can just, you know, he can just wave at you.
The door is off the hinges.
Yes, it's way off the hinges. It's a doorway. That's all
there. The door is propped up against the frame.
Yes. But yeah, they do need.
Let's jump into more collaboration between Impact Wrestling. Trey McGill on Black. Took on Black Taurus, Chris Bay, and Ace Austin in 6-man tag team action. Did you lose me, guys?
You're good.
Now you're still here. Now.
Did you guys lose me? You got me back here?
You're good.
All right, cool. Tell me about this 6-man tag team match here. Dom, what did you think of it?
I thought it was good. Like, Black Taurus is amazing. Trey Miguel, the movesets he's incorporated into his repertoire since we last saw him. It's been a lot of fun. I like his look. Chris Bay is just great. Again, I don't think you should be pinning somebody like Willie Mack just willy nilly. There should be a reason for it. But I thought it was a good match. Good.
Willie Mack, when are you gonna get your win back?
I know. So underutilized.
Yeah, he's not. I think we had the Willie Mack was the thing for a while. He'll get there again, but it's not anytime soon. I think Chris Bay should have never lost the X Division title. He's like the one guy who stands out as a star amongst a division with an identity crisis that we do not need to dive into again.
For those who've not watched our Impact Post Wrestling show before, Robert believes the X Division should be eliminated. Get rid of the title. Get rid of it.
Listen, if you're desperate for reinstating and rebranding titles, let's just call it a television title. You want to call it the X Division? Call it the Access Championship. AXS. There you go. We made a belt. There it is.
I'm surprised they haven't done that yet.
There should be an owl on it. Like, where are the owl men?
Well, I want the owls. Give me the owls.
Who needs to make that decision?
Yeah. I mean, really, like, I think Chris Bay should win here. I hope he does, but I guess we'll see.
Bill, we had tag team action. Triple XL took on the Good Brothers, and they were victorious in this. What is the status of tag team wrestling and Impact Wrestling for you?
I'm going to say it's alive and well, and it kind of has been back for a while. The North established that.
Mm-hmm.
Tag team wrestling has never really, or I shouldn't say never really been my problem, but it hasn't been an issue for me in Impact for the better part of a year. The North reestablished that. I think prior to that, they fell in the trap of putting makeshift teams together and depending on the two teams that they did have and tried to cover up the lack of depth that they had. And, you know, they're in a good place now. And I think maybe for better or worse, that's why we're focused on what the X Division could be, because all of the other divisions are prospering right now.
We also have the introduction of Finn Juice from New Japan Pro Wrestling. That was confirmed last week. How soon do you think they get into the mix here? That they come over. Obviously, New Japan has the issues.
I'm gonna stop you right there, Kevin. They get into the mix 7 days from now when they team with the Good Brothers to go against Triple XL and Reno Scum.
I was getting to that. How soon does that team get into a prime position for a title shot? I know it seems like a thing. They just come over. They walk over everyone. They get into a title position. But you got momentum. You're the fun new hot tag team that has some momentum coming into town and people want to see it. Like, how soon do you think something like that happens, Robert? Legitimately, where people could believe it.
It's not Revolution, is it? What's the
Sacrifice?
No, the April 1 from TNA. Rebellion.
It's Go Home. It's
Kenny
Rebellion.
Omega. Home. Kenny it's Omega.
It's Rebellion.
Kenny At Omega. Rebellion,
I think it's Finn Juice against the Good Brothers. Because I think
Kenny Omega is a different pay-per-view. That's a completely different.
I would really hope that at some point it's Young Bucks, Good Brothers, Impact Tag Team titles.
If you ask Tama Tonga, it's Kenny Oshmega.
No.
Which, if you don't know what that is, go on Urban Dictionary and don't thank me.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out to Tama's Island, by the way. Shout out to Big Ross there.
We're Ross Berman fans.
Yes, we are fans of Ross Berman, our official New Japan correspondent. And Tom as well. He's been very good to us. Let's get into other cards in the match. Eddie Edwards versus Hernandez. Dom, you covered it. What did you think of it?
It was all right. Just established Eddie Edwards. Hernandez is the...
Hold on.
Because you've completely skipped over the actual good part of this segment, which was Smart Mark Sterling is the only lawyer for interpromotional wrestlers. Because not only is he MJF's lawyer on Wednesday nights, he's Brian Myers' lawyer on Tuesdays.
Silver now, Intuition is on Tuesday nights.
That is right. Article 17H clearly states that they are allowed to pick a replacement. They pick the worst possible replacement. I don't get this thing where Hernandez is cool with Brian Myers.
He's a mercenary.
Yeah.
He's paid off. All he does is take money and fight.
You can find a better mercenary. And for the love of God,
I think I think that's a good position to put Hernandez in at this
point. Hey, Robert, I would say the mercenary market in wrestling is wide open right now. Right? Hernandez could be at the top of the heap.
As a mercenary for wrestling journalism sites,
oh,
I can say oh.
You see this, Bill? Look at this.
Bill dubbed me the mercenary, so I can give him that.
Oh, you dubbed yourself the mercenary.
Yeah.
And I just kept it going.
Well, either way, I like it. Hernandez, it's not here for me. They tried to make him a thing in 09. Mm-hmm. He's in like matches with Angle and Sting, and I don't see it then. I don't see it now. I was always a bigger Homicide guy than a Hernandez guy. I don't see it.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Like, you know, it furthered the storyline between Eddie Edwards and Matt Cardona and Brian Myers. So it did its job. I thought it was like it. You know, Hernandez shows off some strengths and like plays to what he's capable of doing. And then, you know, it was just a quick match and just got their storyline across. So I thought it was all right.
Mm-hmm. Jumping over to the female side of it, the Knockouts division was on display. A number one contenders match for the Knockouts tag team titles. Kimberly and Susan, probably known as Sue Young, with the Impact Women's Champion, Knockouts Champion, Deonna Purrazzo, at ringside, took on Jazz and Jordan Grace. Jazz and Jordan pick up the big win. Now, they were in the tournament to reestablish these tag team titles. But what do you think of them getting the big win and setting up a title match down the line, Bill?
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear part of it.
Oh, it's okay. Jazz and Jordan defeat Kimberly and Susan last night. They are now the number one contenders for the Knockouts tag team titles. What do you think of that match being created? This team was put together. That is a singles pairing. New generation with an old generation talent. You talk about the singles wrestlers being put together. This is a team though that does have some chemistry, and now they have a title shot down the line.
I have a few thoughts. I feel like this was maybe a match we could have gotten in the tournament and didn't. I know Robert said this is maybe going to set up a feud between the two. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is when they pull that off. Cheap plug, I'm going to be talking to Jazz later this afternoon, so I will be sure to ask about her new direction and Impact. But I'm also wondering, you know, her retirement tour was supposed to be like, you know, just that, a retirement tour. So how does this change things for her? How does, like, what was the pitch from Impact? Like, she's clearly enjoying her time. So I think it's going to be either, you know, another milestone in her career and in Jordan's, or it's going to be a solid win for Kira and Tasha. And then maybe we do get the split. So, I mean, I'm cool with it either way. I don't really have a favorite right now. I'm more inclined to root for Jazz just because I kind of want that like feel good story, but you know, I think the right team won.
Mm.
As far as like last night goes, I feel like Susan has gone as far as it can. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. This was a fun little side character, the third face of Sue Young, right? She has multiple characters. Good on her for being able to do so many different dynamic things. But we knew, if you're an Arco wrestling fan, you're the three faces of Foley, all right? There was Cactus Jack, there was Mankind, and then way down there was Dude Love. This is her Dude Love, and Dude Love sold some merch and different things like this. Sue Young is a punchline. It's a fun character. It's a wrestling Karen. That's what they're going for. But it doesn't have much legs to it. And I don't mind it. I wouldn't mind them getting back to the demonic, Sue Young character and the zombie brides and all those fun things. Cause that felt like a character that stood out and had a different look, and felt special for them. Overall, Impact did a lot of different movement here. Sacrifice is on the horizon. Are you guys sold on what Impact is doing? They have a lot of different, as I say, plates to spin here. Bill and Dom, I think they're spinning in pretty well. Like, I do think this was a strong episode of Impact this week.
I agree. I think week in and week out, like, I go into there knowing some of the card, but then I'm like pleasantly surprised by a good deal of the card once the show gets rolling. And it feels like, you know, hey, that's a, like, that tables match, Diener and Jake something, was a great start.
Hot open.
And then they continued that, you know, that momentum with Moose and him at the end, even though, like, I have my thoughts about that stuff. But I feel like week in and week out, Impact's been delivering some pretty rock solid shows and telling some good stories, having personas in there that you want to like position in the right way. And like, yeah, DeMore as an authority figure has done a very good job. It's ultimately week in and week out, it's a better product. I just, grand scheme of things, who you're positioning as your top stars is what's very important in the thought process of it all. But ultimately, week in, week out, I'm liking what they're doing.
Let's get this question in here, because this is sort of an Impact story that plays into the overarching thing of them working with other promotions. I did see some questions about this, people asking about Sammy Guevara of the Inner Circle. Now, since the last time we were able to do an Impact show, there was some involvement with that. So some people coming from AEW over to Impact, maybe they like what they get to do. I'm an AEW guy, but I get to do something different in Impact. Maybe I get some more TV time, like Private Party, Matt Hardy. They already know who they're working with. Sammy Guevara, though, there was an issue. And I want to hear this from Robert. I know you have some insight on it, Bill, as well. He was coming over, reportedly. He didn't like what was going on. He didn't like the pitch. And there was some back and forth on this, even with executives and high-ranking people in AEW. And mid-trip to Nashville to tape the show, this gets cut off and they go in a different direction. Reportedly, Black Taurus took his position in Impact. He's from AAA, so south of the border in Mexico. So, Robert, Bill, what is the situation with Sammy Guevara? Why are we not seeing him in Impact? And what could have been?
I think the situation is... it's a lot of what you've heard. There was just a slight, hey, I don't like this. So it wasn't as drastic as we heard, where it's like, oh, well, it's ruined the relationship. They'll be fine. But there are just some differences in opinion, let's say, of how the creative should go. And
Bill?
I kind of see it the same way. Like,
yeah.
It was exaggerated. You speak with sources on an Impact side, you talk to them on the AEW side, obviously without talking to them together and getting, you know, like they always say, there's three sides. There's your side, their side, and the truth. Like, yeah, I think it was exaggerated. Like Sammy could have been like, hey, I don't like this. And as far as so-and-so, like who, I don't even remember who it was, like Chris Jericho and Tony Khan being pissed and Impact thinking that their relationship was ruined. Like, I think that was all bullshit. I mean, you could see it as much in Sammy's vlog. Like, he's poking fun at it. Brandy was involved in the one segment saying, like, oh, yeah, he's a PR nightmare. Like, if he really was, they're not going to go out and do that unless they're really trying to go meta. And, like, he is a nightmare. And they're, oh, no, we're just going to, like, you know, make fun of it and people are going to like be thrown off the scent. Like, I think the only thing that happened was Impact laid out plans. Sammy didn't like it. They came to the conclusion that, okay, if you're not going to do this for us, we don't need you anymore. Like that's happens every day. Like if you can't or choose not to do the job that we want you to do, we will find somebody to do it. So if that's Black Taurus, whatever. Like,
and I also think Black Taurus is doing a great job. Whatever. You know, like he's an interesting character. He stands out. He looks different. I mean, you just pop, if they did a poster, his face would pop off the poster with that beautiful mask and the gear he has. Also, good on Impact for if you want to talk about politicking, saying this is the roles that we need guys coming over to play, and you're going to be on our platform, on our television, on our deal. Good on them for doing it. And also, it's not like a big thing. It doesn't. Not everything has to be that, right, Tom? Not everyone has to. It doesn't have to be a soap opera, you know, reality show flip the table moment, right?
I'm sure a mountain was made out of a molehill with it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always the middle ground, like the middle area where it's like part of that could be true. Like what happened, like there's truth to probably both sides of each of their stories. And you just meet somewhere in the middle with it. And ultimately, no, it's not a big deal. Like you want to see disagreements almost between promotions, because that means the promotions have their own ideas, their own goals set in mind. And once they come together, you know, that's a great recipe ultimately for things. But it's, you know, it's, you have to find the balance, because AEW's got that mainstream television product up there. And so they do hold a lot of the cards, but, you know, Impact has their own story they want to convey and get across. It's not a big deal. It's things will work out. And I think this relationship there, and by no means is this relationship fractured, I don't think, or anything from that extension. It's like things are fine. This stuff happens, whether it's in wrestling or some other like collaboration. It's going to happen. And you want to see it happen, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
All right. So that'll do it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the idea that everything should be this like kumbaya and everybody gets along and we're all just so goddamn happy to be working together. It's so full of shit. Like, yes, they here should comes be
Robert.
Arguing.
Here comes Robert. They here comes should... Robert. He wants no, to start
like,
it.
For real, how ridiculous is it that everybody's just like, oh, well, isn't it, you know, just great that we're all working together? Yes, there should be disagreements because you shouldn't all just be like, hey, I'm just happy to be here. No, you're all in a race towards the top. And I like that this exists because now we know, hey, there's still a little bit of that old school wrestling spirit of like, that doesn't work for me. Let's find something better.
Protect my spot, brother.
Yeah,
you know where I'm at. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 exactly here. Rumor McLean texting is here. I couldn't really see Sammy as a Decay member. Yeah, he would be a part of the Decay group, which that is a mid-card.
Filmed beforehand.
Oh, excuse me, what'd you say, Bill?
The him being in the Decay, that was filmed at the last set of tapings.
Mm-hmm.
And the everything after No Surrender was a separate taping. So it's not Sammy would be in the Decay. That was two separate things. Like two separate things.
Yeah. So I understand where there's some confusion about that too. So
it just looks that way because of it airing every week, but you know, they could have just plugged him into a bunch of multi-man matches, and more to the point, maybe Sammy expected more than that, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was more about, hey, here's an AEW name that is in a prominent spot. We're plugging into these X division matches. If you're not going to do what we want, we can just use this other guy because we all, I mean, Black Taurus is also a prominent name in his company. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really what it is.
And I think too, credit to Sammy, to his, you know, if he didn't feel creatively like this was this, you have to certainly find the, have your relationship keep that positive ultimately, but you also as a star, you want to protect yourself. And if they're not, if that, promotion isn't positioning you the right way, you can be like, hey, I don't necessarily like this idea. Maybe what if we did this? And if they don't like your suggestions, then hey, let's split up and we'll just hit the reset button and figure something else out. And that's what happened, probably.
There we go. There we go. Of course, Robert, you tried to throw some gasoline on that, but I think it was a pretty reasonable issue. See, you're trying to be the disruptor. Who paid you to come in and disrupt the show?
I literally just said what Dominic said.
How much did Sean Rossap give you to ruin this podcast?
I literally just said what Dominic said.
Robert,
I didn't do anything.
Dominic's not a mercenary, though.
I am not. I'm a WrestleZone loyalist, Robert.
I
have integrity.
Not Merc Felice over here.
We've been over this, guys. I'm very loyal too. It just happens to be to a different master.
You're ridiculous.
Money, baby, money.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you want to find out who he's loyal to, Fightful Select. There you go. Yes, if you guys are checking out our content, thank you so much. We have podcasts almost every single day of the week, it seems like now. And get the audio on all the different podcasts that you consume it on. We have WCW Rewritten dropping every Thursday. We have our AEW Focus Show, Two Dynamite Dudes, with Dominic right over there. Robert, you can catch him doing the SmackDown Double Down every Friday into Saturday with Colin Tessier. Bill Pritchard runs the whole thing, all right? He pulls the strings of everything at WrestleZone.com. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at WrestleZone.com, on Instagram, and, of course, here on Facebook as well. If you haven't done it, go ahead and subscribe to our channels and check out all the different things we're doing. We do have that big news on Big Show. Paul White signing with AEW, and we'll be covering AEW and NXT on our post show for that Wednesday night into Thursday. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. We hope you're safe and covering your nose and your mouth wherever you are, entering this weird transitional time where there will be wrestling shows where people are 12 feet apart from each other, but filling the space with fandom. That's what we're going for. Once again, thank you guys for supporting the show. Dom, they can follow you on Twitter where?
@DominicDeAngelo. Just my name, straight up. Bam.
Bill Pritchard, they can follow you, I believe, at, I believe the, yes, it is B Pritchard 52.
152.
And that is a reference towards what, Bill?
Taking Back Sunday.
Taking Back Sunday. You're an emo boy. An emo boy becomes an emo man.
I wear my heart on my sleeve.
There you go. Cute with a B. That's what I say. Cute without the B. We now go to Robert DeFelice. So, Robert, why don't you promote the 45 websites you work for?
I'm actually not going to do that. I'll just promote my Twitter. I'll say I'm on Twitter at DeFelice.
He's the brand. Most important brand. These websites work for him. They don't work for
you. I hope it never gets to that point. I'll say that.
De Niro DeFelice is showing his face yet again.
Robert there is the go. Sammy Guevara on his way to Nashville.
You mean they're just going to tell me to turn around and go home?
Bill, call him.
Dom's the employee of the month.
Dom with the... Here, I'm cutting that. I am cutting that into a clip. All right? Is Bill getting on the phone with Robert? Here, I'm gonna have Bill go solo. Bill, this is you making a phone call to Robert while he's heading to Fightful Nashville. What do you say to him, Bill? What do you say?
Go home.
Go home. No way home. The Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh yeah, you have no way home.
The good four time. Of us have a lot of fun. We have fun here. That's what it is. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. If you haven't done it already, just click like, subscribe to the different channels you can find us on. Remember, when watching wrestling, do the most important thing, which is Dominic what?
Hey, you know what? Just enjoy it.
Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. There you go. Go home, Robert.